William Thomas Custom Jewelry. Your inspiration, your custom jeweler.
If Mary had a little lamb, you bet she would talk to her about it. It's Pam Jahnke and the Wisconsin Farm Report.
5:47 on a Thursday morning, and time to get up to speed on what's happening with the markets. For a change, we've got a little bit of a rally underway. I'm thrilled to say it has to do with trade. Bryce Knorr, commodity specialist, Farm Futures Magazine, farmfutures.com, joining us live via Skype. Yeah, I was a little bit shocked. We caught a really nice wheat rally yesterday based on some of the quality issues and the harvest issues. Now, all of a sudden, overnight, there's trade news that's actually influencing us positively. What do you see?
Right. We got beans up 16 and a quarter, 17 cents now. Both corn and soybean futures gapped higher at the start of the overnight session, and that was based entirely on the news out of Washington yesterday. President Trump and the EU President Juncker agreeing to basically hold a ceasefire on their trade war. The president specifically mentioned the EU purchasing more soybeans. Now, that was something they're going to do anyway. I don't think this is going to increase the amount of soybeans that European countries buy from the U.S., but they're going to buy from the U.S. because our soybeans are more than a dollar a bushel cheaper than those from Brazil. And you can't get soybeans out of Brazil because China's taking them all. But anyway, this is positive news because it's the first sign that maybe we're starting to step back from some of these trade disputes. And even though nothing is happening on the front with China, it kind of holds out the hope that maybe we'll be able to resolve that too at some point, reminding the trade overall that we haven't factored in any weather premium into soybean prices. And we still have a good 4 to 6 weeks or more of the growing season ahead of us.
Right. Is there anything else besides soybeans that this European Union discussion might benefit from? I'm glad to see that they're talking about soybeans anyhow in a positive light. Is there anything else from an agriculture standpoint that might catch a little updraft on this?
I think that would probably be the main thing. We'll have to see. You know, once again, just like with the announcement of the $12 billion in aid to farmers, we have to see some details, some meat on the bone, to try to figure out if it's going to have any impact. For example, with the aid to farmers, it's unclear as to what that will mean, let's say, for corn and soybean growers. We know if prices are low, they'll get larger ARC payments. But the loan rates from the CCC, those are set by law. They're in the actual statute of the Farm Bill. I went and checked that last night. So you have to change that legislation to raise loan rates. And the CCC could always buy soybeans, but what are they going to do with them?
Mm-hmm.
You can't put those in school lunches.
Yeah. Well, and that's, like you said, that's part of this $12 billion aid package that we're still trying to get our arms around. So let's talk a little bit about what's happening with weather then. Bryce, you mentioned, like you said, you got a couple weeks left of the growing season. We're looking for rain around Wisconsin if we can get it. What's happening with weather? The wheat tour, you said, has been a little disappointing.
Right. The results from the wheat tour are coming in a little below average. USDA is well above average with their forecast of spring wheat yields. So we have a discrepancy there, and that caused the wheat market to really take off. The wheat market's been looking for a reason to confirm harvest lows and start to rally because global prices are higher, global production is lower. And this really gave the wheat market a green light to go ahead and start to try to get bullish. The volume yesterday in Chicago soft red winter wheat, and of course that's where most of the volume is, more than doubled, and is actually almost double the volume in soybeans yesterday. So we saw a lot of money, it looks like, start to rush into the wheat market, a lot of trading options as well. And also prices over in Australia were up around 35 cents today. They're gapping to new contract highs there. The drought in Australia shows no signs of abating. So that will be kind of the last card to drop here now in terms of lower production. And the world, I think, understanding that it's just going to have to pay more for wheat in the coming year.
So I'm just curious, you mentioned about how we're picking up volume. So here we are heading towards the last few days of July, Bryce. Is there anything that we need to be mindful of as far as those money managers and where they may move their contracts or shift their risk between now and the beginning of August?
Well, of course, we could always see some end of the month position squaring from fund managers who decide that maybe it's time to get back into commodities. We've seen signs of that from time to time, and most of the funds are bearish on corn, soybeans, and wheat. They have a record short position on, let's say, in Minneapolis wheat, also in soybean oil, and they're short corn, soybeans, and wheat as well. So there's a lot of money that could come into the market just if they start liquidating those positions, and that's primarily what we've been seeing, particularly in soybeans. But yesterday, the open interest in corn was down 22,500 contracts. So that's an indication that the funds are taking off those bearish bets. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily getting bullish, but they're having to do some buying to square those positions.
All right. What else are you paying attention to, Bryce? Exports, how are they looking this week? I know we get the numbers later this morning, don't we?
Right. We get the export sales numbers out this morning. So the totals for both corn and soybeans expected to be down a little bit, but still pretty good for this time of year. Again, we're going to be really poring over the soybean numbers to see how they're doing, especially for those new crop sales. And then wheat. The wheat sales have been pretty lackluster despite all the concerns about lower world production. Doesn't look like they're going to be picking up, at least in this report. So the market waiting to get some confirmation of demand there.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, we are going to let you go. We'll catch up with you next Tuesday, Bryce. We appreciate the insights, especially, like you said, since we are catching a little bit of a rally this morning, corn, beans, and wheat, based on those reports out of the European Union and just the weather fundamentals. Bryce Nora, commodity specialist, Farm Futures Magazine, farmfutures.com, joins us every Tuesday and Thursday live to let you know what's unfolding in the marketplace. And remember, you can always see his updated comments at farmfutures.com as well as on social media streams, so that you know what's developing in the day. Well, what's developing tomorrow? We are talking more about the markets. Tomorrow, our man, Mike North from Commodity Risk Management Group, is going to be joining us to focus in specifically on the dairy industry.
This is the